This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barika ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Queen Mary. MashaAllah. Wallahi, it's a pleasure to be with you all. And it's always great to talk about the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though the people we're going to speak about lived a very long time ago, and from one perspective, a different generation, a different era, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He celebrated their stories in the Qur'an, not just by relating them to us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He celebrated them at the end of Surah Yusuf, where He said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبَرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. That indeed in the stories of these men are lessons for people who have insight. What this verse teaches us is that the stories, though they are of the past, they contain lessons for the future, lessons for all of us. And the interesting part of the verse is the word ibrah. The word ibrah translates to lessons, but in fact the root of this word, you get the word abir, which means a teardrop. And also you get the word ubur, which means to move across. So what we are being told is that these stories, they are so powerful that if you were to listen to them with your heart, you may just be moved to tears. Yes, so we start by asking Allah to make us of those that listen to these stories, not as critics, but as believers in Allah, wanting to take lessons and morals from these stories. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. So the story we have selected today is that of a very famous prophet. He was named in the Quran 6 times. And moreover, he has a surah named after him. The 10th chapter of the Quran, Surah Yunus, is named after this man. So he's incredibly important to us all. In fact, in the Quran, Allah spoke about him by referring to him in 3 ways. The first is by his name, Yunus ibn Matta. Yunus, Jonah, the son of Matta. And then 2 others. Allah referred to him as Sahibul Hut, the companion of the whale. And another name. Does anyone know the other name? Who said that? Yes, Dhunnun. Yes, Dhunnun means the one who possessed the whale. And so in the Quran you find in Surah Safat that the most extensive detailed account of his story is given. And the story begins, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That no doubt about it, Yunus alayhi salam truly was one of those who were sent. Yunus alayhi salam was one of the prophets of Allah. And when he came and he gave his message to his people, their reaction was the same as the reaction of the people of many other prophets. So he came with this compassionate, loving call. And the reaction of these people was one of rejection. They were obnoxious towards him. They would mock him. And what was his message? Ultimately, it was what? That you should embrace submission to Allah in worship and obedience. But these people, they would not accept this message. They found it unacceptable and they began to mock at him. Now the thing is, I want you to imagine, okay, what do people normally do when someone behaves badly with them? Like when someone's rude to you, like how do people usually react? You know, some people, they give as good as they get, don't they? Like, you think you're going to be rude to me? I'll show you what it means to be rude. Hashtag beast mode. Isn't that what happens? Some people, they don't want to take, you know what I'm going to say, from anyone. Okay, they give as good as they get. Or the best of us, if someone behaves badly towards them, they will hold themselves with some dignity and just ignore them and move on with their lives. Isn't that true? But even the best of us, we wouldn't want to be around those people again. People that are nasty towards us. As for the prophets of Allah, they had to live with these people. They had to meet them and invite them and advise them, even in the face of this obnoxious behavior. And so what happened is, after many years of calling these people, Yunus alayhi salam, he became frustrated with them. He became angry with them. And then Allah revealed to him that these people, my punishment has become imminent on them now. And so he went and he pleaded with them that, look, the time has come now. We're talking about divine punishment coming down. What was the reaction of the people? They still belied him. They still rejected him. And so the Quran says, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا, that the one who possessed the whale, he got up and he left مُغَاضِب, angry. Ibn Ashur said the word مُغَاضِب is the more intense spelling of the word غَضْبَان. غَضْبَان is an angry person. The مُغَاضِب is more intense, means he was so angry. He was so frustrated with these people. What is the matter with them? They're not going to listen to me even if I tell them that the threat of Allah's punishment is imminent. He also said the word can be understood to have a shared meaning. مُغَاضِب on the pattern of مُفَاعَلَ would mean that they were both mad at each other. Yunus was mad at his people and his people were mad at him. But obviously the anger of the people was totally unjustified. Yes. So what happened is Yunus alayhi salam, he did something. He made a decision that, you know what, it's come to the end of the line. I'm going to turn my back on these people and I'm going to leave them. And he made this decision without an express approval from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he decided to go far away from these people. And he boarded a boat. The Quran says it was Fulk al-Mashhoon, a boat that was laden. It had cargo and luggage. And there were a group of people that he went with. And it just so happened that when they got into the middle of the ocean, that a storm broke out. And the waves of the sea began to crash against the boat. And the deck became flooded. And so the people, as they would, started to throw the cargo and the luggage overboard. But they still felt that the boat is about to capsize. And so what happened is that they decided that, you know what, it's come down to it, that one of us has to jump off this boat in order to lighten the load. And they decided to cast lots, like a lottery. They put their names into a hat or straws, and whoever got the shortest straw with their name on it, then he was the one who had to be thrown off. The first time they cast lots, whose name came out? Yunus alayhi salam. But because of his status as a prophet, the people said, no, we can't accept this. You of all people cannot be thrown overboard. They did it a second time. And a second time, whose name came out? Yunus alayhi salam. And then a third time again, it was Yunus alayhi salam. And at that moment, everyone realized that this is a sign from Allah. And so Yunus alayhi salam, he had to jump overboard into that treacherous water. Now here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيم, that a whale came and swallowed him up whilst he was mulim. The word mulim means he was blameworthy. Allah is saying that the decision he made to leave his people, it wasn't the right decision. He shouldn't have done that. He's blameworthy for that. Ibn Kathir adds some insightful detail here. He said that this huge whale came up from the bottom of the ocean and it emerged at the surface and it split the water, the body of water, into two. And it lunged for Yunus alayhi salam and swallowed him up. And Allah inspired that whale not to break his bones or to tear at his flesh. And so Yunus, he ends up in the belly. And then he said that the whale, it went to the depth of the ocean. And Yunus alayhi salam thought that he was dead. But then he awoke to the sounds which he didn't recognize. These moaning and majestic sounds that were coming from around him. It was completely dark. He wondered what that sound was. And Ibn Kathir said that Allah inspired him. He said, "Inna hadha tasbih dawabil bahr," that this is the tasbih of the creatures of the sea. You know that majestic sound of the whale that we make tracks out of today? You know what they put in those, when you go to relax and you hear the sounds of the whale? He heard those sounds and he didn't know what they were. So Allah said, this is the tasbih of the creatures of the sea. And then when he moved his legs, he realized, I'm not dead. I'm still alive. And what he did is he tried to find some space in which he could make prostration. Imagine making sujood in that situation in the middle, in the bottom of the sea. And in that moment, he made a dua that was so powerful that it was heard at the very throne of Allah by the angels that are circumambulating it. And Ibn Kathir says that these angels, they heard this dua. And the Quran says, فَنَاذَا فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, that Yunus, he cried out. The word nida is to shout out, i.e. to call with some longing, desperation. فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, in the darknesses. Not darkness, but darknesses, because he was wrapped up in darkness. See, the darkness of the sky, the darkness of the water of the sea, and also he's inside the belly of a whale. Wrapped up in darkness, Allah said, he cried out to me. فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. What is the dua he made? لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He said, there is no one worthy of worship except you. Subhanak, glory be to you. Indeed, I am of those who were wrong. Now this dua, it needs some explanation. But before I do that, I just want to share with that story with you that Ibn Kathir related. He said that when he made that dua, it reached the angels of the Arsh. And they said to Allah, Ya Rab, O Master, هَذَا صَوْتٌ ضَعِيفٌ هَذَا صَوْتٌ ضَعِيفٌ مَعْرُوفٌ مِنْ بِلَادٍ غَرِيبًا. He said, this is the voice familiar to us of a broken person from a place that is very strange. They were asking Allah, who is this person? Allah responded by saying, أَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هَذَا? Don't you know who that is? They said, no, Ya Allah, we don't know. Tell us, who is it? He said, هَذَا عَبْدِي يُونَس. This is my slave, Yunus. And then the angels were shocked. Like, how come Yunus is in such a dangerous place right now? Why is he crying out? Why is he distressed? And they said, oh Allah, is this the same man who continuously does good deeds that are accepted? And the man whose dua is never rejected? Allah said, yes, it is him. Then the angels, they said, oh Allah, have mercy on him who remembers you in times of ease. So please help him in his time of need. Allahu Akbar. That's such a beautiful statement, isn't it? I mean, the angels are making dua on his behalf. And they mentioned one point about him. That Yunus, you know, when times were good, he used to remember Allah in those times. Because of that, oh Allah, please remember him in his difficult time. And so Allah Jalla wa'ala, he caused that well to spit out Yunus alayhi salam. And he was washed onto the shore and his body was damaged because of that time he spent inside the well. And some said his skin became affected because of, you know, the acids or whatever that we find inside the belly of a well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقَطِينَ, that we caused this tree to shoot up. They call it the gourd tree, because it has these long, extensive branches that has lots of leaves on it. So it cast a shade over Yunus alayhi salam, and that shade, it helped cure him of his disease. Now, meanwhile, what was happening back in the hometown is that those people that frustrated Yunus alayhi salam so much, when they realized that Yunus is gone, they started to think to themselves, man, what do we do so bad? We chased out a prophet of Allah. And it is said that they started to come out of their homes, the men, the women and the children. And they looked up at the sky and the threat of Yunus alayhi salam kept ringing in their heads. That this is the punishment of Allah, it's imminent, it's imminent. And they became to feel regretful for their behavior. And then they turned to Allah and asked Him to forgive them. And they began to beseech Him, all of them, the men, the women and even the children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran regarding that, لما آمنوا كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا, that on account of their belief, we repelled or repealed that punishment of a humiliating punishment of this worldly life. And so that punishment that was set, it was removed because of their faith. And then Yunus alayhi salam, he goes back to his people as a nation that is now believers. You could just imagine the shock on Yunus alayhi salam. He left them in a state of utter disbelief and he returns to them and they're all believers. Now this story, okay, it has so many lessons in it. I'm just going to pick out a few, inshallah, and then I'm going to ask you, what kind of lessons do you take from this story? So one of the lessons that we learn from this story, my brothers and sisters, is that the mistakes that you make in your life, they don't make you less of a person if you repent to Allah. Many times people make mistakes in their lives. I've made mistakes, you make mistakes, we're making mistakes right now. But sometimes those mistakes, they haunt us and they stop us becoming great people. Isn't that true? We live in the past. Here we have a story of a person that was infinitely better than us. Yunus alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah. But he made a mistake. But when he made that mistake, he never said, you know what, this is the end of me. I can't face up to this mistake now. I'm a prophet of Allah, how could I have done this? No, when he realized his mistake, he turned to Allah and he made that dua. Now I want you to reflect over that dua because I missed this out. The dua is, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min dhalimin. Please memorize this dua. Use it in your salah. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min dhalimin. Very short. The beginning is, there is no deity worthy of worship except you. What is the benefit in saying that, O Yunus? You see, Allah, He loves to hear you praise Him. And the words that Allah loves the most are the words, La ilaha illallah. Because they are declaring that there is no one worthy of worship except Him. So Yunus alayhi salam, he's calling on Allah in his time of need and he wants Allah to listen to him. So he says words that will please Allah, as if to get the attention of Allah. And then what does he say? Subhanak. Glory be to you. The word tasbih, it can mean that Allah, you are completely flawless. There's an implication in that. Allah, you are flawless. As for me, I'm a flawed person. I'm a man of mistakes. You know, sometimes when you make mistakes and you sin, one of the most difficult things is to accept that you have made a mistake, isn't it? It's difficult. Shaytan is the ultimate example of someone who made a clear mistake and yet he was in denial. Yunus alayhi salam, just like Adam alayhi salam, makes a mistake and his immediate reaction is to hold up his hand and say, Allah, you know what, I made a mistake. It was me, Allah. It's got nothing to do with you. I don't blame you for the bad things I do in my life. I blame myself. Subhanak, inni kuntu min dhalimin. Indeed, I was of those who did wrong. Now what is amazing in this dua, he never asked Allah, oh Allah, save me. I want you to imagine if you were in that situation. Okay, you thought that you were dead. You realize you're not dead, you're inside the belly of a whale. What would your reaction be? Except one of panic. Yeah? Your phone's not going to work in the belly of a whale, by the way. You'll be in a state of utter panic. As for Yunus alayhi salam, the first thing on his lips is not to ask Allah to help him. It is to glorify Allah. He thinks of Allah more than he thinks of himself. But there's something else here. Why didn't he ask Allah to save him? Why didn't he just say, Allah, please save me? Instead he said, Allah, there's no one worthy of worship except you. Glory be to you, I was of those who did wrong. Why did he just add at the end, and please save me right now? What do you think? Does he want Allah to save him? Of course he does. So why doesn't he ask Allah? Why doesn't he say it? Oh Allah, save me. What do you think? Queen Mary, we have some high expectations of you. What do you think? Why doesn't he ask Allah, oh Allah, just save me, please bring me back to shore? Half a hand there. He's scared of asking? I doubt it. Yes, sister. So he said to Allah, there's no one worthy of worship except you. Glory be to you. I was of those that were wrong.
Yeah, he's looking back on his deed and he's not saying, oh yeah, just forgive me. Because he realized, oh, I didn't tell him that I'm an idiot for people. So why would he say forgive me in that?
There is self-reflection there, but that's what my point is. He's only said words that show that he's remorseful, he's guilty, he's reflected on his mistake. There's nothing there that suggests, oh Allah, save me. But of course, that's what he wants. Anyone else got a suggestion? Yes. Okay, so there's a degree of humility there. But surely asking Allah for help is a sign of humility as well, no? Yes. Ah, okay. So he's resigned himself to the punishment of Allah. Okay, so it's kind of, he's accepted that, you know, if this is my punishment, then that's fine. I think that's fairly good. Anything different? Yes.
So he's showing that gaining Allah's forgiveness is more important than anything else.
MashaAllah, very good. The brother said that to Yunus alayhi salam, the forgiveness of Allah was more important than being saved in this dunya. SubhanAllah. It was more important that Allah, you forgive me, than Allah, you save me. As long as you're happy, I can bear anything in this life. Yes? And isn't that what the Prophet ﷺ, he said when he was coming back from Ta'if, bloodied? He made that dua to Allah when he was in a time of desperation. And he said, as long as you're not angry with me, I can bear anything. Yes? So it was you, Allah. If you're not angry with me, I can take this pain. And this is another benefit as well. And this is a very personal one. That Allah knows the things that you need in your life. Allah knows that you need to pass your exams. Allah knows that you want to get married. Allah knows that you want a job, etc., etc. He knows those things. But what He wants to see is that you turn to Him in your times of need and you speak to Him. That's what Allah wants to see. Even if you don't end up spelling out what you want, as long as you turn to Allah in your time of need, He knows what you want. And He will give you the best thing. Okay, so this is a very beautiful dua. And the Prophet said in the authentic hadith that no one says the dua of Yunus except that Allah will respond to him. Yeah? In the Musnad of Imam Hakim, he said this hadith is sahih. That no one makes a dua of Yunus except that Allah responds to him. So this is the first lesson. That the mistakes you make in your life should not dictate your future. Because Yunus alayhi salam, he didn't let that one mistake get the better of him. Another lesson that we learn, our brothers and sisters, is that we are bound to make mistakes in our life. What should we do then? Many brothers and sisters, they have this question, like, I have such low iman right now. What should I do? Yes. Why is it that I have low iman? As if they're frustrated at having low iman. And that's a good sign. But what you're failing to see is that life is up and down. If a prophet of Allah is going to have ups and downs, what about us? What then should we do in our times of low? What we should do is in those times of low, instead of turning to people and complaining, turn to Allah and complain. How many of us actually do that? Look at Ya'qub alayhi salam. When his family is torn away from him, what does he do? وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ Allah says he turned away from his sons. وَقَالَ And he said to Allah, that my sorrow and my grief, you know, has got the better of me. وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنْ الْحُزْنِ And his eyes became white because of grief. He was complaining to Allah. So in your times of low iman, one easy way of removing yourself is to turn to Allah and to complain to Him. Okay, let me ask you now. The story of Yunus alayhi salam, you've heard it. What kind of lessons did you take from it? What things did you learn from it? I'm going to open it up. So anyone would like to start us off? What things did you learn from the story? Yes, at the back there. Very good. The forgiveness of Allah is more important than anything in this world. Very good. What else? Yes. When it's time to make big decisions, turn to Allah for guidance. Very good. Excellent lesson. What else? What about the sisters? What lessons do you learn from the story? Yes, sister over the back there. Very good. One of the best ways of having your du'as answered is to ask Allah with a sense of desperation and need. Yes, have a sense of humility in your voice and the way you ask Allah as well. It's not just about saying, oh Allah, please help me pass my exams. You need to speak to Allah and say, Allah, you know, I'm finding it very difficult. I've revised so much. I think my hair's falling out, Ya Allah. Seriously. Like Zakariya alayhi salam, when he asked Allah, oh Allah, give me a son. You know, he asked Allah, he says, Rabbi, wahana al-azmu minni washta'ala al-ra'su shayba. He says, Oh my master, وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي. He says, my bones, they become weak despite of me. Like, I don't want to be old, Allah, but my bones are going old right now. وَشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. And ishti'al has happened to my head. Ishti'al is the tip of a flame, the white part of a flame. He says, my hair is gone white and it's kind of gone with the wind. He's like crying to Allah, I'm so old, Allah. I'm coming to the end of my life, Allah. Please, I fear for my progeny. Give me a son, Ya Allah. Do you see? So another lesson we learn, I want you to write this down, is that the way you ask Allah is as important as what you ask Allah. You need to learn to show desperation in your du'as to Allah. If you want Allah to forgive you, if I want Allah to forgive me, you got to ask Him. You got to ask Him in a way that shows you want it. Yes? So don't be short and sharp. Rather, have a conversation with Allah. Any other lessons? Yes, and I'll come to you, inshallah. Yep. Okay, I mean, maybe it needs more thought, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a responsibility, then you need to see all the way through. Yes, it's true that what Yunus alayhi salam did, it wasn't right. Yeah, but to extract a general lesson from that, because to be honest, a person doesn't really know that Allah has given him this commitment in life. Yeah, but generally speaking, you have commitments that you know Allah has made obligatory on you. You can say, yes, you should fulfill them. But don't compare that to Yunus alayhi salam. Yeah, even the Prophet salam, he said that no one should ever say that I am better than Yunus, meaning the Prophet salam is better than Yunus alayhi salam. Maybe he said that because people would think less of Yunus alayhi salam. But the Prophet said, no one should ever say something like that. Yeah. Though we acknowledge it was a mistake, just like Adam alayhi salam and other prophets made a mistake, we are very sensitive when we speak about those things. Okay, you wanted to say something?
Your relationship with your Lord is most important.
Very good. Your relationship with Allah is more important than your relationship with people. Yeah, let's say it like that. And that's a very good point. In especially when you're young, what people think of you matters the most, isn't it? I mean, think about social media. Did you hear about this story in America, okay, where this lady, she shot her boyfriend at point blank range as part of a stunt that went wrong? Did you hear about the story? So what happened is that she put it on social media that, look, we're going to do this stunt, okay, I'm going to shoot my boyfriend. And he's going to have this telephone directory held up against his chest. I'm going to shoot him at point blank range. It's not going to go through, but let's see what happens. So they went outside their home and all the neighborhood gathered together to see this stunt. I mean, they're as bad as them, isn't it? Seriously. Coming together to watch this. And then she put it on Facebook Live as well. So there was loads of people watching. She pulled the trigger and the bullet went straight through the directory into his chest and he died. And when she was taken to court and asked, why did you do this? You know what she said? She said, my boyfriend and I, we just wanted to increase our social media presence. Can you imagine? People are literally dying to become famous. And what people think of them matters the most to them. But as for the prophets, what Allah thought of them matters more than what people think of them. And to be honest, that's very powerful. Yeah, because that will drive your decision in the right direction. If you're not worried too much about what people think of you and you're more concerned about what Allah thinks of you, believe me, it will help you make good decisions in your life. Okay, any final lessons? Yes, Sahih. Yep.
How he came to accept, which is like us have to try our utmost to perform as well as we can.
Yep. Okay, very good. The part of the story where the lots are being cast And Yunus Salim comes out once, twice, thrice, okay, and he accepts that this is what's going to happen to him. The brother said that there's like a lesson, that in life, okay, we are supposed to try our best to do the things that we believe is right. Yeah. But ultimately, if Allah's qadr is dictating it in another direction, our reaction shouldn't be one of becoming frustrated, but rather it should become one of submission. Yeah. Sometimes you try and you try and you try. And you're trying for something good, not something bad, but it's not happening. Don't become overly frustrated. Yeah. Rather accept that this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, I've got one final lesson I want to share with you. Anyone else would like to say something before that? Yes. Excellent. MashaAllah, very good. You picked up on that one statement from the angels. The angels said about Yunus alayhi salam, this is a slave who remembers you in good times. So please remember him in difficult times. Yeah. And this is really amazing, because most of us, we live privileged lives. Compared to the rest of humanity, we have it really good. You know, our fridge is usually full. As for most people, they don't have that luxury, especially in the Muslim world, where so many of our brothers and sisters are going through such traumatic times. We are like living lives of kings. And in that moment where you are having it good, you have friends, you have money, okay, you've got it good. It's very difficult to keep on remembering Allah. But one of the lessons from the story is, if you can remember Allah in your good times, then when your time comes of need, then be sure that Allah will remember you. Yeah, very good. Okay, just one final lesson. Now, this is a slight tangent, but there's a sense of irony in the story of Yunus alayhi salam. I don't know if anyone picked up on this. But Yunus alayhi salam, he was frustrated with his people for not listening to his call. And so he left. In his absence, without somebody actually advising them, the people themselves became reformed and guided. True or not? And then he comes back to find that, you know what? Everything's fine. They've actually started to believe, even without me being there. And in that, there is a lesson that guidance truly does come from none other than Allah. If Allah wants to guide someone, you could be in the worst company and have no one good around you. But if you are faithful to Allah, if you're sincere with Allah, then just be sure Allah will guide you. And that's amazing, isn't it? Sometimes it's difficult to find good company. Yeah, many of us, we choose our friends based on personality, isn't it? Based on banter. But subhanAllah, we should choose our friends based on how much they remind us of Allah. I remember when I started college, I wasn't that practicing. I didn't have a beard or anything. I used to pray 5 times. But I said to myself, the first day I'm going to go college, I'm going to find the brother with the biggest beard, and I'm going to say to him, bro, I want to be your friend. Even if I don't like him. Yeah. And wallahi, the first day of college, I remember that in the first lesson before the break, I spotted this brother with a thoban and he had a beard. And I said to myself, you know what? Bismillah. I went up to him, I said, bro, listen, I'm new here. Should we go pray together? He said, yeah, let's go pray. And wallahi, I became best friends with him. Yeah, Muhammad. I became best friends with him. And today, my mother always reminds me about him. She says, make sure you make dua for Muhammad. Because when you were off the rails, he came to help you. Yeah. So it's very important that you have good company. Okay. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خير for inviting me here. Wallahi, it's a pleasure spending time with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this as a gathering that we are pleased with on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Ameen.